called it Giving To, because last week Eric went through 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which was about giving. So chapter 9 is on the same theme carrying it on, so Giving To, or Giving the Return Of, or something like that would be most appropriate. Let's just recap, for those of you who weren't with us last week, what chapter 8 was about. Chapter 8 was about this situation. The people in Jerusalem were people who were in real need. They were going through great hardship. There was a lot of suffering. There was a lot of people going through hunger. So Paul was encouraging the Christians around the Mediterranean area to be a giving people. And the people in Macedonia, to the north of Greece, were very, very poor. But they gave out of their poverty. They gave generously. But Corinth, unusually for anywhere in Greece, political joke, had plenty of money in that part of Greece. But they were tight-fisted. They were a good church. They gave a lot in different ways. But the money was not a generous part. Not like the people in the north. So Paul wrote a letter. And this is what he said to them. He said, Corinthians, you're good at a lot. Eric described it as flattery last week. He said that, you know, you're good in speech, you're good in knowledge, you're good in this, you're good in that. But you're tight-fisted. You're not generous. You're not a giving people. And so these two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, is about their need to be a giving people. And today we're going to look at these four things. Today we're going to look at, firstly, the reasons why we should be a giving people. Secondly, the principles of giving. Thirdly, the practical aspect of giving. And lastly, the results of giving. So we're looking at these four topics. And we're going to start by reading verses 1 to 5 of 2 Corinthians 9. So the words are on the screen, but if you need to go to an optician and Specsavers, then bring your own Bible and you can look closer. Here we go. Now, it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry of the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Asia, that's the area of Greece that they lived in, has been ready since last year, but your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brother so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you're not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift and not an extraction. So, let's have a look. What are the reasons that people give? And as I said, I've got here now four reasons. The reasons why people give. Some people give because it is a duty. You pay your taxes, not because you are a willing giver, but because it is a duty. I've never heard anybody say, Mr. Osborne, could I please pay some more taxes? I'd like to pay extra this month. Nobody does. You pay as a duty. How many of you recognise this situation? You've been working somewhere for 6 weeks, and someone comes along to you and says, we're having a collection. And you say, oh, a collection for Kate. Do you know her? She works in the other building. You know, blonde hair, like, sure. Oh, yes, yeah, I know Kate. Well, we're all chipping in £5 because she's going to hospital to have her bunions removed. And oh, yes, of course, I'll give you my £5. You're not giving because you care for Kate having her bunions removed. You give because you're under a sense of duty. That's what we're all doing. You know, they always say that. We're all chipping in. That's not giving out of generosity. It's giving because you feel a sense of duty. Some people give out of self-satisfaction. That when you've given, you feel a bit good. A friend of mine on Facebook was saying they walked through Piccadilly Gardens and there was a beggar and they gave half their sandwiches for lunchtime to the beggar. And they said, afterwards, when I gave my sandwiches, I felt really good. Ooh, aren't I good? I've given half of my lunch away to this person who didn't have it. I feel good. Da, 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 da. You know, so there's that feeling of why people might give. Prestige. I want to be known as a giver. I've spent far too many times walking in and out Wigan Infirmary lately. But if you walk inside Wigan Infirmary, I don't recommend it. But if you do, that read into that what you will. There is a list of people who gave money to the hospital to set it up. It's quite fascinating. I've quite spent some boring moments reading this list of who had given money in the past. John Ryland, who set up the library, giving money to William, to Wigan Infirmary, and all sorts of people. Now, you see it on the telethons on TV, don't you? You know, such a body comes across at the bottom. Such a body has given £100. Why would you want your name? Because doesn't the Bible say, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you're giving? Now, I know that's very difficult. You know, how do you not let your left hand know that your right hand is... I don't know. But the point is this. Why would you want to give just so that you had a reputation of being a giver? Because surely number four, and you can give to the SVC Community Plus, there is on the webpage a charity checkout that you can go online and you can give. And it is quiet and discreet and you don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You can do this sort of thing. But you should do it for the motivation of this love. Because giving shouldn't be an obligation, it should be an opportunity. An opportunity for others to be blessed through you. That's, and we need to think, don't we, about our giving, to think, what is it? What are the principles behind? What are my motives for giving? Am I giving because my heart has got that right attitude? Because that's what Paul was saying. He said, I want you to give, but I want you to give for the right reasons. And we'll see later on that he was basically saying, if you're not giving for the right reasons, I'd rather you not give. You don't see that on the telephones, do you? You know, you don't see Terry Wogan on Children in Need say, now, if you're not giving for the right reasons, please don't pick up that phone. But this is what Paul was saying. He was saying, pick up the phone, make your donation, but make it for the right reasons. Make it out of love. Let's just read on, and we'll read the next few chapters, verses 6 to 9. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. For it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That phrase there in that passage says this. If you have a look at the list of things that we can draw from this passage, the first one there that I'd like to say is this. Giving should come from the heart. And here we've got it. God loves, in verse 7, a cheerful giver. Now, in the Greek, the word cheerful there is where we get the word hilarity, hilarious. So strictly speaking, this verse is, God loves a hilarious giver. So there's a little collection box over there. So next week I want people there, ha ha ha, oh, I can give. I've got the opportunity to give. I want to be able to give. That's, you can do it this week as well. But that opportunity, I saw you. I've got that opportunity to give. God loves a cheerful giver. It's from the heart. It's from the right motives. It's doing it for the right thing. I just want to look back to, let's put my bookmark in there, look back to the book of Exodus. And this is the time when the Jews were in the wilderness. And in Exodus, oh, I wrote the reference down here, Exodus 35 verse 21. In 21, he says this, as they came, this is talking about Moses, as they came, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting. So Moses had spoken to the people, we need to bring things so we can create this tabernacle. And it said, the Spirit of God moved in these people, so they brought. Let's look what happened in chapter 36. It said, the heart of everyone who had skill stirred with them to come and do the work. And eventually, down in verse 6, so Moses gave the command and the word was proclaimed throughout the camp. Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution of the sanctuaries. So the people were restrained from giving, for bringing more. That they had so much a desire to give that they had to be restrained. We've got enough now. Stop. But what an attitude. We want to give. We want to support this. We've bought into this. This is something that is good. This is something that is right. We want to plough into this. To the extent that Moses said, whoa, no more. What an attitude towards giving. What an attitude towards giving. I took recently some clothes to the charity shop. My normal principle is take it to the charity shop, which is nearest to the place where my car is parked, because I'm lazy. But I took it into the charity shop and I gave it to the person. Did I give it? No. I gave it away. There is a difference between giving and giving away. You give away what you don't need. I didn't need any of those clothes, because they're obviously too tight. But I didn't need them anymore, so I gave them away. It cost me nothing, because I was giving it away. Giving requires some sort of cost. There's an interesting story at the end of 2 Samuel, where somebody wanted to give David, said, David, here's something you can give as your sacrifice. And David said this, he said, I will not give to the Lord something that didn't cost me. If it didn't cost me, I don't want to give it to the Lord. The attitude of giving from the heart. Let's move on. Giving also makes us rich. Verse 8 points this out. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Not rich necessarily in material sense. You sometimes flick around the TV channels and someone says, plant the seed into this ministry and you will get something back. And it's almost like God's a slot machine. You put something in and you pull the lever and you get something back. Hey, hey, I'm in profit. That's not necessarily from the heart. What it's saying here, give, even if you know. But God will make you rich, because God will change you as a person and make you a richer person. God will bless you. I believe God blesses people, but it's not, we're too materialistic in the way we think. God will make us rich, and God will build us up so that we become more like Christ. Because if you look at the life of Jesus, it was a life of just giving himself, pouring out his life. He poured out his life upon the cross and they crucified him. He was giving. He gave. He gave his time. He gave his interest. He gave his entire life. So when we are givers, we become more like him, because he was the giver of everything. So by becoming givers, it makes us more like Christ, so that we appreciate that God is a giving God. You cannot outgive God. He gave his everything for you. He gave his life for you. So you cannot outgive God. There's no way that you can do that. But you can learn to give. Let's just look at the practice of giving. Verse 6 tells us there, that we shouldn't sow sparingly. My uncle was been in full-time Christian service for many, many years, and he worked once. He headed up an organisation called You Need Christ, and it was backed by this millionaire backer who paid his wages and what have you. And he went to this bloke and he said, "The office is small, the typewriter, in those days, the typewriter doesn't really work properly. Can we have some new equipment to do this better?" And the answer he was given was simply this, was that, "I'm sorry, but this is a Christian ministry. You've got to be prepared to just battle on through it. You've got to be prepared to put up..." If it's a Christian ministry, why didn't have the best? Why didn't have the best stuff? Why didn't have equipment that works? That to me, it shouldn't necessarily be running on a shoestring and doing second best and making do, because it's not... God doesn't want us to do give sparingly, just to plant a few seeds. I'm not that brilliant a gardener, but I know this: if you plant only a few seeds, you're not going to get much back. There was a church, southern part of America, very enthusiastic, and the preacher came up with this. He said, "Our church is like a lame man that needs to get up and walk." And all the people, "Yeah, hallelujah." And then he said, he was getting going then. He said, "Our church needs not to be a church that walks. It needs to be a church that runs." And a great eruption. "Yeah, praise God, yeah." And then you get going a bit further. He said, "Not only should our church be a church that runs, we should be a church that flies." Whoa, the place absolutely erupted. And he said, "Flying's expensive and it'll cost us a lot of money." And the place went silent. And someone shouted out, "Let's walk, brother, let's walk." You know, are we going to put it off? Is the giving something that costs us because we shouldn't sow sparingly? Verse 10, we recognise where the seeds come from. "He who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seeds." Everything you have has been given by God. I've told you this once before, but I knew a Christian couple who went round every year to their house and put hands on everything they had in their house and said, "God, this is yours. The telly, God, it's your telly. Washing machine, this is your washing machine." And they psychologically got it into their head that the possessions they had come from God. And it got their thinking correct, that they recognised that things were from God. And they recognised this. I wonder whether, I've been thinking about this. You know, when it was the Olympic Games, they kept talking about the legacy. And there was a report out, wasn't there, this week saying, that, or this recently saying, there wasn't much of a legacy left behind. I wonder what legacy... What footprint, that's another modern phrase, isn't it? What footprint your life will leave behind. When I'm gone 20 years from now, people might say at SVC, "Hey, do you remember that nutty, boring preacher we had years ago?" They might, but it won't be long before I'm forgotten. Won't be long. You know, when my mum died and I had to empty the house, my dad had died before me. You know, she'd had built up a collection of Coalport china. We sent it to the auctioneers, raised less than 100 quid. My mum had spent ages building it up. The legacy, the only legacy that you will leave behind, the only imprint that you will make on this earth, is what you give. Both in your time, in your giving of your time, yourself and your money. That will leave a legacy. What, you know, if I go out and buy lots of nice things, no one in 20 years after I've gone said, "Wow, didn't he have a lovely smartphone?" You know, they won't. But if I've given some money, you know, we give money to the church, we give some money to a Christian organisation, we give some money to work in the third world. You know, if I actually sat and thought, if I totted that up, what impact has that money had that I've given over my years? How is the world? The world is different because I've given that money. There are people who've had treatment in the third world because I have given that money. My life has left an impact because I've been a giver. It's not the impact that I will leave. The footprint, the mark on for eternity is only left by what you give. And that's why it says, don't give sparingly. Don't give sparingly. Recognise where the seats are from. And be organised. But we said it in verse 4, it says verse 10, verse 3 there. It's verse 3 and 4 as well. He said to the church, be organised in your giving. Be ready. That's a practical tip. You know, nowadays you could say, make sure you give properly so that you filled in the form to get tax back, so that George Osborne can hilariously give 25% extra to what you've already given. You know, that's being organised, being practical in our giving. So let's look at the last section here. What are the results of giving? And shall we have a look at verse, and we'll read verses 11 to the end of the chapter. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saint, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them. For all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. So let's just quickly have a look. What are the things that we can learn about the results of giving? We are, as it said in verse 11, enriched. We become richer. We become a better person through the giving that we have. Thanks to God is given. You know, when people receive the gift, when people contribute to this church and this church is able to buy new sound equipment or something like this and pay the rent, you know, thanks God is praised through our giving. God is glorified through our giving. Good things happen through our giving. When you pay for inoculations in Africa or what have you, good is done. God is praised through our giving. They are good things that happen. And our lives are led through shown our submission to God. Verse 13, by the approval of this service, they will glorify be God because of your submission, because of your willingness to bow the knee and to say, I'm going to put all my resources, my time, my giving financially, my time giving and everything else, I'm going to put that into your hands, God. I'm going to bow the knee. I'm going to take it away from being a self-centered person. And, you know, you need to provide for yourself. You need food on your table and all the rest of it. But I'm going to make sure that the focus is right. I've switched it to the right way. Two final thoughts. Final thought number one is this. Have we really seen how much we have received from God? When you just think what God has given to you. It's quite amazing when you actually think about the things that God has given you. Hopefully you've found your way and understand, and you've come to a position in your faith where you've come to Him and given your life to Him, and you've received salvation. You've received an eternal life in His glory. You can't get much better than that. You've received so much. So really, should we be so tight-fisted with the things that we've got, because we have got such a giving, bountifully giving to God? And here's my last point. You remember Paul said to the church at Corinth this. He said, Corinthians, you're good at a lot, but I wonder what Paul would say in our fellowship. SVCers, you're good at a lot. You do this, you do that, you do the other. But maybe there's something for you to pray about and reflect upon. What would he say to us as a church? Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something else on your life. Maybe he could say, you are so good at so many things. You've got such a fantastic thing. But get that sorted. Get that sorted. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord God, that you are an amazing God, that you give and you give and you give. And we just heard earlier from Ellie about the joy that when people who have nothing, they give, and it's such a blessing. And Lord, we pray that we would be people who have a giving heart, who are prepared to give as freely as so many people around this world do. We pray that the impact of our giving will be something that would last and make a huge impact upon this world. For Lord, we ask it in your name. Amen.